You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
Join life coach Eric Yarborough for Man Cave Dialogue, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Real conversation about various topics from a male perspective. It's Man Cave Dialogue with life coach Eric Yarborough, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. on LoveRadioNetwork.com. It's Ladies Night each and every Thursday on LoveRadioNetwork.com. Tune in at 7 o'clock with Kimberly Renee for her show, Kiss of Life. At 7:30, Simone Hurt with A Single Woman's Love. 8 o'clock p.m., Tanya Maynard with Naturally Me, Naturally Free. Then at 8:30, it's The Gospel Express with Nina Taylor. Join us each and every Thursday for Ladies Night on LoveRadioNetwork.com.
Well, good evening, family. Welcome to Kiss of Life, the show about empowerment and transformation. I am Kimberly Renee, your worldwide host and motivational coach, and I'm so glad you tuned in for your weekly kiss. So please go ahead and let your friends and family know that Kiss of Life is streaming live on Love Radio Network. Just click on that Listen Live button, and you can hang out with us on Alexa, as well as live 24 hours on the Love Radio Network 24. You can be connected to us at any point in your day. So just give the command to Alexa, enable Love Radio Network 24, or Alexa, play Love Radio Network 24. And if you'd like to subscribe to our station, log on to the Love Radio Network and just give us your name and your email address. The numbers to dial in to listen, or if you have a question or a comment, are 563-999-3519. Again, that's 563-999-3519. Or you can dial into 727-731-5250. Again, that's 727-731-5250. So I'm hoping that all is well with each and every one of you, family. All is very well in my world these days, and I'm so thankful for that. But you know how you have those moments where, you know, you just reflect on life and you just have to thank God for the doors that he closed? No, you know, closed doors aren't always fun, you know, when it's happening, because, you know, we make certain plans for our lives. And honestly, you know, we just think we know what we want at times, but ultimately God knows what's best for us. You know, because he made us and he knows us better than we even know ourselves. So all closed doors aren't bad. Now, I've shared my story with you guys about my pain of having to come to the realization that, you know, one of my long-term relationships was going nowhere. And, you know, it wasn't so much that I didn't know that the relationship wasn't going anywhere. It was really realizing the reason why it wasn't going anywhere. And once I began to understand the dynamics of my anguish within that relationship, it was quite clear to me that it had just, you know, run its course. So it had to end. And I was never going to be fulfilled in the way that I desired or needed to be in order to thrive within the relationship. See, I was with a man who, you know, only had the capacity to give me what I needed to a certain point. I started dating him at the age of 20, so I was pretty young. But by the time I was in my 30s, you know, I required more than he could or was willing to give. And whether someone genuinely doesn't have it within them to give what you need, or whether they're just unwilling to give you what you need, either way, that adds up to not having the capacity, because they're making a conscious choice not to put in the effort to do what it takes to make sure you as their partner are satisfied. And, you know, understandably, you know, relationships take work to maintain. You know, sacrifices are necessary. However, when it comes to being fulfilled, you know, I'm speaking of areas within the relationship that are your deal breakers. You know, those are the areas that you absolutely will not be able to function within the relationship if those desires are not met. I mean, we know that there are things in any relationship that we prefer to have, but, you know, we okay if we don't get them, you know, from our partner. And, you know, that's compromise. Like, if your top love language is physical touch, you know, and that's crucial for your survival in the relationship, and you have a partner who doesn't show public displays of affection, you know, you may be willing to deal with that. You know, they don't have to hold your hand in public or you know, hug on you or anything like that, but as long as you get it in private. But if they're not physically affectionate at all, that's the deal breaker, you know. That's the equivalent of them not having the capacity to give you what you need, you know, to fully thrive. And eventually it's going to cause a breakdown in a relationship, because you can only ignore a craving, you know, for so long, you know. Have you ever been in a relationship, you know, or are you currently in a relationship where your partner makes you feel like you ask too much of them, or what you're asking of them is unreasonable? I mean, do they make you feel like it's impossible to please them, or are you the partner of a person who feels, you know, that they ask too much, you know, or it seems impossible to please them? So, you know, we're talking about it tonight, okay? So tonight's topic is, are you asking too much, or are you asking the wrong person? So there are 5 signs that I want to share with you that, you know, you may be with the wrong person. You know, only you can determine that, but I just want to give you a list of, you know, just things to look out for, you know, so you can make, you know, an educated assessment of what your situation may look like. So number one is, if your partner doesn't really listen to you, like, you know, if your partner half listens to you when you're expressing yourself, or is only waiting for their turn to interject about what's going on with them, you know, that's kind of self-centered. You know, if they're not listening to understand and, you know, just interested in only what they have to say or what affects them, that's not really cool. You know, there have been times when I'm sharing my heart with Sugar Bear and I'm not really sure he's listening, because, you know, I know that men are gifted in the area of compartmentalizing, so they have the skill to tune out. And, you know, I'll be like, babe, are you listening? Because he's just so quiet. And, you know, my thought process is like, you know, is he shutting down? But then he's like, yeah, you know, babe, I'm listening. I'm just processing. And then I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, I can really appreciate that, because, you know, he's not only listening, but he's processing to understand and sort out what I'm saying. But, you know, that's something I had to get used to, because I just wasn't used to that process going on, because, you know, we like dialogue back and forth as women. So if he's not dialoguing, I'm like thinking he's not listening, but he actually is, and he's processing so that in turn he can, you know, respond. So, number two is, you know, if you feel like, you know, you have to wear a mask in your relationship, like if you can't be free to be yourself, or you feel the need to lower your standards or shift your personality, you know, that's not an environment where you can fully thrive. You know, if you're summoning up your alter ego, your false self, you know, that's not going to work, because, you know, it's much easier to maintain the truth than a lie. So, you know, you have to be able to be free and, you know, just be yourself, your authentic self within any relationship, you know, but especially your relationship, your romantic relationships, and your marriage, you know. Number three is, if you avoid difficult conversations, that may be a sign. You know, if you can't have the honest, tough conversations with your partner, you know, the one with whom you're intimate with, the one, you know, you're supposed to trust, depend on, build with, be vulnerable to, then, you know, that's like kind of a wrap, like, really. You know, it amazes me when a person says to me that they can't talk to their partner about things. I mean, the most vulnerable thing you can do is be naked before someone, and I'm talking physically. So how can you be sexually intimate with someone, but you can't share your innermost thoughts in your heart with them? Like, when two people love each other, that sexual connection is the most passionate experience that you can have. And personally, if I can't be my total self in a relationship without judgment or criticism from my partner, I can't fully thrive in that relationship. You know, yes, I am an actress, but I can't act, you know, through my whole existence in my relationship, nor should I have to. So that's, you know, that's really, you know, an important one. You know, you have to have, you know, the tough conversations and be able to, you know, express yourself and speak your heart, and then be able to actually speak honestly, you know, and purely. It's coming from a pure place. Number four is when being with your partner drains you. Okay. Like, if you're just exhausted being with your partner, something's wrong. Even the best couples, you know, they have the occasional disagreement or argument or fight, but that really should be the exception. That should not be the norm. You know, when you're in a committed relationship or marriage, you should feel happy and alive. You should, you know, just have a zest, you know, with your partner. You should not be emotionally drained. Okay. And number five is if they put forth no effort, you know, now this can be exhausting, because, like, I feel like, you know, in relationships, sometimes, you know, people say 50-50, you know, you don't want to be equal. However, you know, there are times when, you know, one person may give 70, one person may give 30% or whatever. But, like, it can't be like, you know, 90-10, like, where one person is doing, like, the majority of the work and the other person is just, like, chilling out, you know, putting forth, like, very little to no effort, because, you know, it's, you know, one person, it's just going to exhaust the other person, you know? So, you know, most people genuinely want the best for their partner. They genuinely, or, you know, it should be that they genuinely want to see them happy. You know, that's really, you know, what a healthy relationship looks like. If all the effort in the relationship is one-sided, you know, that's eventually, it's going to take its toll on the person, you know, putting in all the work, because, you know, either one partner putting in, in all the work and the effort, they're going to start resenting the partner that's putting in no effort, like little to no effort, you know, the one that's doing all the work. They're going to continue to be, you know, a doormat, so to speak, in the relationship, and, you know, ultimately unhappy. So there has to be, you know, some effort on both parts. And that just, you know, that means, you know, sitting down and talking it out, you know, just, you know, trying to have that reasonable conversation and just letting your mate or your spouse know, hey, you know, you're not pulling your weight. You know, sometimes people, you know, they have tunnel vision, and it just may be that they don't see it, and it can be okay once you, you know, bring it to their attention and they're aware of it. Sometimes they're just not aware. And then sometimes, you know, they may be aware and unfortunately just don't care, but that's, you know, hopefully not the case. And, you know, that's a whole other set of issues, if that is the case. But, yeah, you just, you know, just want to make sure that you guys are both, you know, pulling your weight and that you're both actually, you know, invested in the relationship. Okay. So, there, you know, was an article in Psychology Today, highlighting a study done by Dr. Sivan George Levi at, Biralan University in Israel on what's called relational entitlement. And basically, relational entitlement is, you know, when your partner feels entitled to certain benefits and luxuries, or feel that they can treat you in a certain manner because of your relationship status. And, you know, life is really all about balance, you know, even in relationships. And, you know, we must strike that fine line of meeting our partner's needs, you know, and getting our own needs met while not being overbearing or overly entitled. So this research, you know, provided insight into, you know, how our expectations about our closest relationship influence the extent to which, you know, we feel emotionally satisfied. And, you know, their scale divided this concept into four subscales. So I just want to share those subscales and what each one represents. So subscale number one was excessive entitlement, okay? So people scoring high on excessive entitlement, you know, it's just, as you can see from, like, items compromising this subscale probably come closer to the notion of the entitled narcissist. So in their relationships, much as in their lives in general, they behave as though the world owes them something because they are much, so much better than everyone else. You know, people have that sense of entitlement. You know, I see that a lot, you know, not particularly in a personal relationship, but sometimes on the job or just people that you run across. And, you know, this gets played out with their partners in ways such as feeling they deserve the best or whatever that might be. And then they're constantly ready to move on in case something better comes along. You know, they see their partner's flaws, but not their own. So this is excessive entitlement. Okay. And then subscale number two is entitlement expectation. So this particular subscale refers to the tendency to have expectations for your partner's behavior toward you. People that scored high on this subscale feel that their partner should provide them with attention and understanding, you know, perhaps more than they deserve. And, you know, I always say this, like, I'm a person who, you know, I'm a relationship person. So I love relationships, no matter what type of relationships they are. You know, I build them. I just love people, but I like quality time. And, I always tell people I do like quality time. I do like attention, but I am not an attention whore. Okay. Like, for the lack of a better term, I'm not, you know, so you have to just distinguish, you know, when is too much versus when, you know, it's just like enough. So people with entitlement expectations, they want you to provide, you know, attention, you know, a little bit more than they deserve. So, subscale number three is restricted entitlement. Now, the items in that subscale tap into whether you feel that your partner deserves more than you do. That's interesting. So, you know, people who scored high on these items, they feel inhibited in their ability to meet their needs, wishes, and expectations in a relationship. The term restricted here means that individuals who agree with these items are literally unable to say what they want and need of their partners. So that's an issue in and of itself, because you are in a relationship and you do have needs. You have to be able to find your voice. You have to be able to know that you deserve, you know, certain things within reason in an equal relationship. You know, you deserve reciprocation. So you have to be able to express, you know, those needs to your partner. So that is called restricted entitlement. And then subscale number four is called assertive entitlement. So now, by agreeing with these items, individuals are expressing their belief that their needs in a relationship should be met. And although the items by themselves seem similar to those of excessive entitlement, George Levi, that's the person who did the doctor who did the research, they maintain that there's something healthy, you know, about being able to stand up for your rights in a relationship. And it is healthy. You should be able to have a voice. You should be able to express yourself, you know, without fear of rejection or retaliation, or even just being unheard by your partner. You know, if you don't, you might become one of the restricted entitlement group where you don't ask, you know, that's the opposite end of the scale, you know, who, you know, you can't make your needs known to your partner. And that's just not fair either. You know, relationships, you know, they do have their issues. They do, you know, have their problems and things, but you should be able to be your authentic self within your romantic relationship. You should be able to have your needs met and, you know, equally understand your partner's needs so that you guys can, you know, coexist and be happy. You know, we know that all things aren't perfect, but that's where the continuing work, you know, comes in. You can't just get in a relationship, and people make the mistake sometime of, you know, starting out very, very nice and very purposeful and, you know, intentional about what it is that they give to their partners. And I think that a lot of times people are introducing their representatives, and I'm just not a fan of that. Like, I'm not a fan of, you know, when I'm meeting someone, especially for the sake of an intimate relationship, leading towards maybe long-term relationship or marriage, I'm not a fan of, you know, putting my best foot forward, so to speak, as far as presenting something to them that I'm not. You know, I feel like, you know, if you meet me, this is who I am. I'm going to give you just a fair, you know, chance to just see who I am authentically, and you make the determination if you like me or not, or if you want to get to know me, because it's just so much work to try to, you know, continue that pattern. Like, and then you make the mistake of making, you know, your partner think this is who you are authentically. And then if those are the traits that you presented and that made them fall in love with you, and then when you get in a relationship, they don't continue those traits because they can't keep up the farce, it just starts to create all type of problems, you know. And then, of course, your partner's not being fulfilled because they made a decision to be with you and to try to build a life with you based on the person that you presented to them. So my thing is just be yourself and just let people make an honest assessment. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but at least you won't have those extra problems down the line. Okay. So, there is a test, that is attached to the article, that I told you about in Psychology Today, to determine how you would score in terms of, you know, the relational entitlement. So, for the sake of time, you know, I'm not going to go through it, but I'm going to post the article on my Facebook page and on the Love Radio Network page, via Facebook. So, you know, you'll be able to go later and take the assessment yourself to see, you know, what actual, subscale that you fall into, because, you know, only you can make the determination, if this person is right for you or complements your life, you know. And and while relationships, they take work, you know, we're speaking of healthy efforts to maintain a relationship. You know, like I said, you know, even the best relationships, you know, they take effort, because there will be challenges, you know, that come along the way. But, you know, if you are in a relationship that's just, you know, unbearably difficult all the time, then, you know, you just may, you know, be with someone who's not right for you. You know, it's sad. You know, it gets to a point where, you know, you're trying to force it for whatever reason. You're trying to just, you know, manipulate things. And it's just so hard. You know, I mean, there will be challenges, but when something is just like ultra, ultra difficult, you know, like when you're trying to force, you know, a square peg into a round hole, you know, it's just, you know, it may be time, you know, to cut your losses and move on. You know, it's unfortunate, especially, you know, if you put in a bit of time with a person. Like, you know, I said I was with, you know, my ex-boyfriend for like 15 years, and that's a lot of time. You know, and I was with him that long because by like the 9th or 10th year, I was just like, you know, I put in some time and I don't want to, you know, go through the work of trying to get to know somebody else all over again. So that's why I stayed. But, you know, I was younger. And then once I matured and I grew and, you know, things changed, I knew like it was just something that I could not do. You know, it wasn't going to sustain me and I wasn't going to be able to, you know, fake it. So, you know, I just, it had to end, You know, it just had to end. But, you know, it just may get to that place where you realize, you know, you'd be better matched with someone, you know, who is more compatible. But, you know, only you and your partner can make that decision. Of course, it's a bit easier to do, you know, if you're not married, you know, because marriage comes with a whole different commitment and set of circumstances. You know, these vows and license, you know, they hold more gravity. You know, therefore, you know, these evaluations really should be made before you take that step. Like, you know, you really need to examine if you can live with this person for the rest of your life. You know, ask yourself, you know, those tough questions. You know, they may be uncomfortable, but you have to, you know, ask yourself those tough questions, you know, cause people stay together for a myriad of reasons. But the question is, you know, can, you know, I build a life with this person? And, you know, will we both get equal satisfaction in being together? And, you know, honestly, it's not easy, but it's necessary, okay? So that's what I have for you tonight, family. You know, I really hope that these things, you know, resonated with you and that you can take these tips and, you know, apply them to your life. So to just recap, for assessing if you're with the wrong person, some clues are if, you know, your partner doesn't listen to you, if you feel that you have to wear a mask, if you avoid difficult conversations, and if you're just exhausted being with them, and if your partner puts forth no effort. Okay, so to assess if you may be asking too much, go ahead on the Love Radio Network site and you know, look for the article there. I'll post it, and then you can go on to my page as well, and that is Kimberly Renee at Truthfully Speaking LLC. So it'll be posted there. Okay, so guys, you have some homework tonight. Okay, and you know, I hope you find, you know, out some answers that will help you know where you are. Okay. So, family, I just really, appreciate you so much. Thank you again for tuning in to your weekly kiss. Please don't forget to follow me. My website is www.KimberlyRenee7.com. And I am on Instagram at KimberlyRenee2425. I'm also on Twitter at Kimberly Renee, the number 4. If you have any questions, any show ideas, if you know anybody who's a small business owner, or if you yourself is a small business owner and, you know, you want me to highlight you, you know, on small business, you know, Spotlight Thursdays, you can hit me up. You can email me at krd152@gmail.com. And then, listen, family, don't forget, if you miss any of our broadcasts, you know, you can always catch us on Love Radio Network 24, where we stream 24 hours, okay? We have all the music and topics that you're looking for. And listen, stay tuned for Simone Hurt. She's coming up next on A Single Woman's Love. Again, I am your worldwide host and motivational coach, Kimberly Renee. You're always in my heart, family. And remember, there's greatness in you. Share it.